Ajay, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today for this inaugural South Asian Leadership Forum. We really want to profile, as you know, South Asians who've made it across a number of different fields. And you know, we see a lot of leaders in many different types of arenas, but law is not so common. Clearly, you're an innovator, you're an entrepreneur, and you're doing transformational things here at Dilworth as well. But I'm sure you had to make adjustments yourself to fit in. I mean, to be able to get that ability to make these changes that you're now talking about, and I want to understand a little bit more about too. But what adjustments did you have to make?
If you look at Dilworth and its history, it is not just a law firm, it's an institution in Philadelphia. So Dilworth's corporate identity and DNA and my personal DNA were absolutely aligned. So it made sense. So when I came in, you know, we talk about the Parsi story, the way I describe it is, if Dilworth was the cup of coffee, all I wanted to do was be the sugar that dissolved into the culture of the firm without changing the texture or the character of the coffee itself, but make the coffee sweeter. And that's what I thought we should have done and would do. 6 months into my tenure at Dilworth Paxson, taking stock of both our strengths and our weaknesses, as any company would look at it, I identified a new vision for the firm, and I realized that we would have to radically transform an institution. Not in terms of a total revolution as much as an evolution of what we used to be. Absolute change agents, counsel, not just a collection of lawyers, but counsel, to bring back that original idea, what Dilworth was so special. So, but to transform that in a context of a legal industry that hasn't gone through evolution in terms of innovation for a long time. So that's when I realized I can't just be the sugar that makes the coffee sweeter and dissolve into the culture, but instead, I had to bring in the milk to radically transform the texture and the color of the coffee itself, and that had to be a shared journey. Now, people have asked me, how's it going? You know, you have adjusted, handful of your senior leaders have adjusted. Has that new radical vision of what Dilworth 2.0 is going to be, is that adopted by all of us? You know, I would be lying if the answer is yes. It is very difficult to do that, to change culture so quickly. Is there a general understanding that we want to go here? Absolutely, absolutely. That we have unanimous, you know, understanding that we want to go there. Is there fear and anxiety about the new world? Yes. I think what we have is a, you know, the early adopters who have embraced the notion that we must change and we will change and we can actually lead the legal industry into innovation. And then you have a tipping point moment that happens typically. We're now past the tipping point to full adoption. And we're in that awkward phase. And the struggle that I can see internally, I'm speaking a little out of place here because I'm airing dirty laundry from inside, is really, okay, this radical vision makes sense. How do I, Lawyer X, fit into this new vision? How do I become a soldier within this new world? And that's where I think, you know, the past couple of weeks I've been going through a real emotional roller coaster where I've taken stock of my own leadership and I'm wondering whether or not, am I doing enough to clearly articulate the vision and the pressing need for us to evolve? And then two, is the vision not only clear, but is it inspirational enough where you're encouraging others to now run to the horizon and have the curiosity to look beyond? I think the answer is yes, only time will tell.
What I love about the answer you just gave and the thoughts, just the introspection that you've made, is that you clearly have struck a good balance between, on the one hand, fitting into the environment that you're part of and yet being true to yourself. And I think that's really an important trait to be respected and yet be able to make the changes, you know, and especially because you're transforming not just a company, but hoping to transform an entire industry with your innovative approach.
For me, there's a difference between the word lawyer and counsel. Lawyer is technically sound. They know how to read a statute. They know how to read a case law and provide, you know, accurate pinpoint advice for a client. Counsel is a lot more than that. Every entrepreneur has a moment of kairos in their life that moment within the continuum of time that is pregnant with opportunity. And when they go through that kairotic moment of opportunity, they usually have somebody on their speed dial to process that kairotic moment and say, look, marijuana is being legalized. I think there's an industry here. I want to set up a bank, or I want to set up a distillery, whatever that their perceived opportunity is. And they're calling somebody to say, how do I get there? What are the steps? What are the hurdles that I need to move? Typically, they're calling people like Joe Giacovini, Steve Harmelin, Larry McMichael, you know, Jim Hennessy, mm-hmm. Brett mm-hmm. Wilsey. They're counsel. They're the ones who get the phone calls to figure out, how do I process it? After they have created it, then they just call lawyers to memorialize documents. Our new vision for the law firm can be summarized in one sentence. We are trying to be. We're an institution of counsel that leverages the intersection among relationship, value, and judgment for the benefit of our clients and the industries and the regions in which they operate. Now that's a loaded sentence. An institution of counsel. I already talked about the distinction mm-hmm. between counsel and lawyers. We want to be not just a collection of lawyers, but an institution of counsel. Not just handful of people, but the institution itself should remind people that there are. That's where you go for a processing karate moment. I'll explain how we went there. How do you become that magnet, the watering hole, where all innovators and entrepreneurs come together to sort of seize their opportunity? And how can we be that institution that facilitates and dreams for them? How do we stare at a forest and imagine a city for many entrepreneurs? That's the first aspect. Intersection of relationships, value, and judgment. Law firms, unlike any other institution, business institution, touch every aspect of humanity, even more than accounting firms, even more than consulting firms. Because of our pro bono, we touch from pro bono clients all the way to, especially firms like ours, local, national, international clients. So we have tentacles that reach everything. But if you think about law firms within the industry, the incentives, the carrots and sticks are designed as such where even if we say in our marketing materials that we believe in cross-sell, et cetera, if you really look at the incentives, we're focused on the tip of the iceberg. How do you extract legal fees? Mm-hmm. By selling them units of time, and in return, getting fees or profits for the firm. Mm-hmm. A counsel thinks differently, but that's what most lawyers think. But the client's needs, the rest of it which is submerged within the water, underneath the tip of the iceberg, are also can be monetized, both for the client's benefit and the industry's benefit, as well as the region's benefit. So relationships to us is, how do you take those sets of relationships and create cross connects that truly shape and reshape the contours of our client's potential and the industries in which they serve, or also the regions in which we operate? How can we really transform those things, regardless of whether or not there's a return for us from a profit motive? Because I'm a firm believer that in the long run, once you shape and proactively do these things, you will benefit anyway, okay? You will benefit because rising tide lifts all boats mentality. Value and judgment. The value that typical law firms can provide is not just discounted legal fees or good advice. It's also that processing of kairotic moment, positioning people into that kairotic situation. Judgment. Well, law firms are filled with people that have unique training that can navigate the regulatory landscape and the legal landscape that accountants and they have different skills, but our judgment is bespoke. It's different than a consultant's or so our role as counsel can be transformative. So what does that mean? How are we becoming a magnet? One, to create an advisory body called the CEO Council. It's really a collection of local luminaries who have served as counsel to me in helping change a law firm and transform it into an innovative mode. They're doing really well. But they've also been, in many ways, the apostles who have spread the gospel of innovation in the marketplace and lending more credibility to us because of their own stature within the industry as innovators and leaders in their segments. Second is a concept called the exchange. Dilworth Paxson has created what we call an exchange where we have invited other venture funds locally, prominent venture funds, to come together and syndicate deals with each other. So we have one-stop shop where venture funds can syndicate deals. If you're a startup, you apply through our ProCeder software, and with one click, you reach 13 venture funds that look at you. Mm-hmm. So it's a place where the startup community can have ready access to capital without actually knocking on 13 extra doors. And then what we're really interested in is creating the third bucket, which are subscribers within the region who have access to private deals that are easily found in Silicon Valley and other markets, but in Philadelphia, harder to do if you're not really high net worth and affluent. We're creating that bucket to grow. So we've created this moment where it's a watering hole where various entrepreneurs come together and we're exchanging entrepreneurial activities. Third platform was called Dilworth Ventures. I'm convinced that law and the margins that we operate in are only going to shrink each year. It's getting ultra competitive. And two, automation, artificial intelligence will absolutely disrupt our industry. Knowing that, we're pivoting today, anticipating what's going to happen 10 years from now, and creating alternative revenues and alternative revenue models that not only provide supplemental income to us, but also feed our current core business, which is law.